Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to continue today on the series we've been teaching entitled Imago Dei. Imago Dei is Latin for the image of God. And this is part six, which is entitled A Mother's Provision. And there is the slide on the screen there. I just thank God for the opportunity to share this series. It's been very impactful in my life, and those I've heard from have said it's been very impactful for them as well. So it's an honor and joy to bring this word today. And really, beyond a word, it's a reality. It's a foundational reality. Some things you hear are just nice to hear. Some things are foundational to your life. And who we are in God is foundational to our lives. Let's go to our first text today. We're going to start today in Genesis chapter 1, which is the foundation text. And it says there, verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Verse 28, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" And so this is a description of the purpose of mankind. Our man is male and female. Okay, we've given you six parts so far of this teaching. I'm going to come back to explain Imago Dei. And this is important because each message kind of leads to the next one. So I pray you'll go to the blog, to the podcast. But part one was, who am I? Say, who am I? Part two, restoring human identity and purpose. Say that. Part three is, why am I? Say that. Yeah. Part four was, factors that hinder Imago Dei. Please say that. Part five last week was, the image of love. Say that. And then today is, a mother's provision. And these are all important teachings. I pray you'll go back and listen to them. There's notes on the podcast and the blog. But going back to Genesis 1, so there are human, there's a human creation mandate, I'll say, the human creation mandate in Genesis 1. And it gives these points. Now, God's image speaks of character, who we are within. I mentioned to you that my dad is sitting here, my mom is in heaven, but I'm made in God's image and in my parents' image. So I share in the character of my parents. My dad is hardworking, he's a problem solver, has high integrity, it does what he says, and more. I have that in me. My mother was very compassionate. I have that in me, the image. The likeness, he says, is the outward witness. Now, it's not just that we look like, but we behave like as well. Outwardly, people sometimes, you know, you remind people of your parents, not only by appearance, but also by how you outward witness. Now, inward's one thing. Outward is something different. So those are reflections also we have of God. We should reflect God's character. We should have God's attributes, his love, the way he treats people, the way God helps. I mean, the outward, the image and likeness are important. Now, also recognize this. Everybody has Imago Dei. Everybody, Christian, non-Christian, because every person is made in God's image and likeness. And that's a good starting point to encourage people, young people. Tell them, you are made in God's image and likeness. Forget that chart going from the thing, the slime, to the ape, to the whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just forget that whole thing. And think about, now, you're made in God's image and likeness. There was no progression, you know what I'm saying? Not for people. He says dominion. Dominion speaks of responsibility. God put Adam in the garden to tend and keep it. He put that man to work day one. He was made full grown. It went straight to work. He just showed up. Hey, I'm here. Go to work. Because the word men, M-E-N, means meeting every need. Meeting every need. Go to work. Take care of your business. Business. All right. So responsibility, tasks, duty, service. The Bible says in Proverbs, do not forsake the instruction of your father and the law of your mother. Right? The law of your mother, right? But the instruction of a father. So fathers instruct. Finishing school, Elder Owen said, you know. So dads instruct. Jonathan talking about that, you know, tell the students, hey, you know, fix that. Do it right. Now, we care about you so much until you're going to get this done. You're going to do it the right way. That's how much we care for you. Fruitful. He said, be fruitful. Well, it talks of reproducing, having children, but also it speaks of utilizing abilities and gifts, which we all have. Multiply. Again, reproduction, but also it means reproduce yourself in terms of what you do, how you empower other people, help people do what you do. That's a part of mentoring and training and teaching. I mean, at every level, every kind of job. My wife, I mentioned last week, has finished up last week with a student teacher she had with her for 16 weeks. And young lady was IUPUI, now a graduate, I believe, and she finished. So now she's been licensed already, and she's ready to teach because she spent time with a master teacher. And she would not soon forget that time. And listen, I believe she learned as much as she learned about how to instruct was how to control the classroom, how to have dominion up in here. Because if you don't control the classroom, you can't teach. My wife does it extraordinarily well. And because that's a part of instruction, getting control of the classroom. And that's not taught in textbooks. Some things are better caught than taught. So this young lady learned a whole lot from my wife. Amen. She'd never forget that. Again, I can remember my wife. Again, she's multiplied herself. She's reproduced herself in this young lady, a new teacher. Subdue. He said subdue. So God's image, God's likeness, dominion, fruitful. Be fruitful, multiply, and subdue means to create and maintain order. So necessary that when something is disorderly, when it's chaotic, you have God's image, Imago Dei, to go in and straighten that thing out. To create and maintain order. And think about it again, all people have Imago Dei, but in Christ, it's maximized. We have the maximization of that, those powers, those that grace, if you will. Therefore, that's why believers on jobs just do better. Because we are not only using our skills, education, we're also using the Imago Dei. We're using the image of God, the likeness, the dominion, not to dominate people, but to handle situations. Amen? All right, so that's review. And let me say this also. Again, what is Imago Dei? It is a Latin term for image of God. We like that term because it sounds good. It sounds good, Imago Dei. It only means image of God. But it helps us focus on that foundational truth, that knowing who you are is foundational to both a healthy self-image and a strong sense of purpose. So important. Next point here, that you are by grace. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of all apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, living more abundantly than they all, yet not me, not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so the Imago Dei is empowered by the grace of God. So whatever you are, whoever you are, then God's grace helps develop you, helps bring it out of you. And so you begin to do things and labor. Some things kind of come naturally to you. They're called talents. Some things you develop into skills. You learn whole new things. But by the grace of God, say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, Paul said that because of that, he says his grace toward me was not in vain. He's saying, God wasted no grace on me. He didn't waste anything on me. What he put in me, I'm using it. What he gave me, I'm sharing it. Right? He says, I labor more than they all. He's bragging. I'm really not bragging. He's telling you that this is what grace did. Not I, but the grace in me. So then when you're doing what you do by the grace of God, you don't apologize for that. Amen. Don't make yourself small. Amen. To make folk comfortable. Get that one. Yeah. Yeah. Folk get a little nervous. He's doing all this kind of stuff. Well, just relax. I'm not changing. I'm training you. You won't train me. Amen. Get used to this. This is how we roll over here. God hasn't wasted any grace in me. Very important. He says, so I'm laboring, not because I'm trying to compete. I'm just trying to live up to what God gave me. He's my standard, not people. So don't get pressured to notch it down and back up. No, just go right forward and encourage people. So then the grace, so you are by grace. I am. By grace. Say to it. Now, today again, we're going to talk about a mother's provision. Say a mother's provision. This is so good. I want you to see the unique contribution of our mothers and mother-like ones in our lives. Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, and from the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me as a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Isaiah understood his mother's provision. Because he said, the Lord called me from my mother's womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. Matrix of my mother. That word matrix means the inner parts. Well, the womb is inner part, I thought. So what is it? Well, I thought about this. And I realized that there's something deeper than the inner organs. Even than the tissue of the organs. It's called DNA. Right, there's something called DNA that we now know that wasn't known to Isaiah, but that matrix, that inward part, he recognized that he was the product of his mother. I mean, God had called him, but it was because of his mother that he had a certain character, a certain nature, a certain way about him. He said, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. I wonder now, his mother must have been like, you know what I'm saying? Mom was a talker. His mom was probably one of the moms you didn't want to just, you know, go crosswise with. Because you'll see in the text here many examples how many people are like their mothers or carry attributes forward from their mother. And it may have been that Isaiah was able to be bold in his speech and bold in his presentation for God because his mother was a bold lady. That'll come through our text. Other texts you'll see here will bear it out. The point is, from the matrix of my mother, he made mention of my name. Wow. So it's important to pay attention not only to the Bible and to the Holy Spirit, what he's saying, but pay attention to your mothers, to your grandmothers. I mean, obviously your fathers as well, to your parents. Pay attention because you're not just the sum of what you think about yourself. You're the sum of the DNA, the imago Dei, and the DNA working together. It's beautiful, isn't it? He then said, he made me as a polished shaft or arrow in his quiver. He has hidden me. So he says, God's made me a polished tool. I'm a tool ready for God, a refined tool ready to be used by God. And this is part of the imago Dei and DNA. Now, I read this, that a mother's DNA contribution to a child is impactful in ways different than a father. Of course, equally impactful, mother, father, obviously DNA. But the mother has something called mitochondrial DNA, which is inherited from the mother. While men receive mitochondrial DNA from their mother, they do not pass it on to their children. So we trace lineage through mothers, okay, that mitochondrial DNA. So the point is, there's something that God knew. And so when Isaiah said that from the matrix of my mother, he made mention of my name. See, he recognized God knew there's something I got from my mother that's different from my father. I get both. I got both attributes, but mom gives you something different than what dad gives, obviously. Beautiful statement there. He said to me, and you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Keep that thought. So God's plan for helping us realize Imago Dei continues through the process of birth. Everybody is born of a woman, that's obvious, and everybody is created at birth in the image and likeness of God. Your mother is proof of your Imago Dei. These are all obvious statements, but important statements to internalize, that your mother's proof that you're made in God's image and likeness. I mean, the child could be a hellion, come on, you know, but he's still made in God's image and likeness. That's old school term, you know what I'm saying? Hellion, heathen, and all that kind of stuff. But that's why we have all this hope for children, right? We go aboard, above and beyond to help a child, knowing that if we can help them realize who they are, that changes their life, right? So we spend so much time on youth, hoping for and helping youth. But the point is, so then it's through birth. It's that we're all born, you know, into the world from our mothers, seed of the father and mother's egg and conception, the whole process there. But what comes out of the process is another person made in God's image and likeness, needing to be trained, needing to be guided and led into the right path. Make sense? Now, Proverbs 1 and 8 says this. It says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, right? So again, the law of your mother, see, do's and don'ts, rules and regulations and right and wrong. And dad, you know, has that too, but dad's more like the instruction. That's why, you know, we surround young people. We just surround young people. We thank God for our dads and uncles and coaches and all these brothers and sisters, because we need all the contributions of good people to help us know who we are. But Proverbs 30 says this. This is heartbreaking. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says this. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Now, that's a picture of somebody not recognizing Imago Dei. Because to curse your mother is to curse yourself. Right? You know, to curse your father, rather, and not bless your mother, I mean, you're cursing yourself because you're born of parents. And so he's a bad man. Well, the point is you still got Imago Dei from him. You have to recognize or condone whatever wrong he did, but you cannot curse anybody, not just your father, anybody, because God does the blessing, God does the cursing. You can't curse anybody. But when this generation, whichever generation he's talking about, I think in every generation there are people in that generation who curse their father, who don't bless their mothers. And you can kind of see the fruit of it in their lives, right? So it's important for us to get to them and while they're younger and hopefully turn them around, because Imago Dei recognized, as the psalmist said, deep calls unto deep. That is, the depth of my heart cries out to the depth of God. And so I must recognize the depth in even the people who don't live according to the proper standard. There's something in them we must still recognize as of God. Now, let's go into this. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's talk about our place in creation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 says, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, and have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, that's what Genesis just told us. But he said here that why are you mindful of man? Why are you mindful of humans, Lord? Why do you care? Well, he cares because he made us a certain way. He made us in his image and likeness. Now, we have four children. Wife and I have four children, whom you know. We have two grandchildren. We've had six cats. And my last cat, he died in November. I shed a tear. I did. I shed a tear. But that was about it. You know what I'm saying? Went on back, dried my eyes off. You know what I'm saying? And didn't have no funeral or nothing like that, you know. He was gone. Now, you know, that little cat, little buddy, that's what I called him, little buddy. Right, yeah. But he was never made in God's image and likeness. He had no imago Dei. All he had was meow, feed me. When do I eat, you know, comfort me, comfort you. It was a nice relationship as it went. And so, but he wasn't imago Dei. The point is this. I don't feel the same way about my cats as my children. We care about people way more than the animals. Folk miss that in this world sometimes. Now, we don't abuse animals. I believe we should take care. Dominion means take care of. Don't abuse. Don't destroy. The point is this. So he says, you have made. So why do you care about us, Lord? Why? You have made us a little lower than the angels. But actually, the word angels is not the proper translation. Let's keep going here. Look at verse 9. For in that he has put all things in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. It is God put everything under man, under humans. He put everything in the earth under us. But we do not yet see all things under us. Right? So even though that was the plan, sin and the broken covenant has prevented us from having proper dominion, proper rule, proper care for this world. He says this, but we see Jesus. So what you don't see happening in us yet, we see it in Jesus. That's called hope. Say hope. Who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, wait, now we know that it's the wrong translation. Follow me? Jesus is not lower than the angels. At no point in time in his whole existence was he ever lower. Baby in the manger, he was still over the angels, okay? Now, let's go on here. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everyone. Now, no contradiction. Next slide. So here is the answer to this issue, okay? First of all, that the Hebrews writer quoted from Psalm 8, verse 5. And in the Hebrew, the word there is Elohim. In the Greek, which is Hebrews 2 and 7, Angelos is the Greek word. The Hebrew word is Elohim. So Angelos is properly, you know, used as angels. But the context here we know is from Psalms 8 and 5. So the point is, God made mankind a little lower than God. Right? Jesus came in the world as a man, a little lower than God, though he was God. He came in that role as a man. He lowered himself. You can't kill God. You can't make him suffer. So as a man, he took man's body. And so the point is, why does God care about you? Because you're made in his image and likeness, a little bit lower than him. Now, we are by no means God. Amen, somebody? There's no scenario by which you can think of yourself as God. Don't play that. Don't even try that. Don't say, I think I'm God. Ask Nebuchadnezzar what happened. He walked out on the terrace and said, look at my creation. Look at what I, and while the word was in his mouth, madness fell on him. He began to crawl on all fours like a dog. He lost his mind by trying to claim to be God over his kingdom. So we don't mess with God, amen, like that. But we are lower than God, and that dignifies us in a way that's far above the animal kingdom. All right, got that? Very important, because Imago Dei, image of God, requires that we understand our position in creation. There is God, there's people, there's heavenly beings of various sorts. You come on down, you got animals and plants and insects and all the rest. But we are right up there in the God class. We're right there next to God. That's a message, isn't it? That people should know that. Young folk who don't know God at all should know, hey, you know what? You're made in God's image. You're a bit lower than God. Now, you are lower than God now. Emphasize that. But you are lower than God, but you're right next to where God wants you to be, next to him. That's an encouraging word. And then from there, talk about Jesus, how to get into the Imago Dei. Start there. But people should know their position in God. Now, in creation, when Adam and Eve sinned, disobeyed God, then God made this pronouncement. He said, verse 15, he says, I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is God speaking to the serpent, okay, after deceiving Adam and Eve. And he said, I'll put enmity, hostility between you, devil, and the woman, Eve. I'll put between you and mothers, I'll put this hostility between. Now, see, mamas are very protective, right? They got this hostility against anything look like gonna hurt my child. You ever seen men walking around and you walk close to some geese, a mother geese, goose rather, and what do they call the little ones? Goslings? Goslings, okay, yeah, the goslings, okay. And so you get too close, and the mother goes to squawking at you, right? And pop. Now, she can't do nothing to you. But she's going to protect. She got something, you know, she got the hostility, that enmity between you and her babies. So there is something in mothers that is protective, okay? So it's in creation. So then God said, I'll put this enmity between you and the woman, between your seed, devil, and her seed. That's a capital S in your Bible. Capital S, referring to the eventual emergence of Jesus Christ. See? So God had a long-term plan. Say long-term plan. Man, God knew the end from the beginning. He worked this thing from the first day they went wrong in the garden. He had a plan in place. So he said, I'm going to put this between you and her. And he says, and he shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Now, you shall bruise his heel speaks of the fact that, yeah, the devil did look like he killed Jesus, looked like he hurt the purpose of God. But he said, he shall bruise your head. Now, here's my theological exegesis. What's worse, a busted head or a busted heel? What's worse? So then, even though the heel of Jesus was bruised, busted, if you will, Jesus rose from dead and busted the head of the devil. Got that? That's kind of crude, but it's right. You know what I'm saying? Not too scholarly, but it's correct, okay? And so the point is, this is the plan God put in place in the first book of the Bible. That's what God cares about, the Imago Dei in you. That's what he cares about you, about his image in you, his purpose in you. That he put a plan in place so that we could find redemption through Christ. So the woman's seed would eventually lead to the birth of Jesus Christ. All right. Now watch this. Distorting or destroying DNA and Imago Dei in women and men hinders the destiny of their children and the human race. So notice how much abuse has been directed toward women, how women have been cast down and not respected, you know what I'm saying, and all kind of weird things. And then and people in general, how people enslaved, people actually People actually own people made in God's image. It's called slavery, right? People actually own people, sold people made in God. So that's an example of folk who don't know who they are. And that whole Christian nation, Christian nation stuff, don't buy that because those founders, 55 of them, 26 owned slaves. 16 of them needed the money. So they chose, they could have chosen not to let slavery be a part of nation's founding. They compromised. Well, keep the slaves, they could be three-fifths of a person, all that madness. You know about that. Now God was in the founding, God was in the founding of the nation, but it wasn't like it was a Christian thing, unless you believe Christianity is about slavery. How do you get that out of people, you know, who said they knew God owning other people? But the point is, all that mess, see, it distorts and destroys both DNA because, you know, for example, people who abuse drugs, that messes with DNA. Drug abuse, you know, long-term and giving birth to addicted babies. I mean, some things do affect DNA. Then, of course, Imago Dei is the spiritual part. So we have all these activities and things going on that ultimately distort and destroy DNA and Imago Dei that hinders children. There's a reason why children act the way they act. It's not a mystery. It's not just economics either. It's not about single moms. It's not about lack of money? No, no, no. Your parents, my parents, them folk, well, they were all poor and didn't even know they were poor. Amen. They were rich in faith. Brenda had, well, yeah, what, Joyce said, what, 12 siblings? How many? 13 siblings. Were y'all poor? Yeah, now you realize it. But at the time, she said no. Well, I said yes. In hindsight, you know what I'm saying? The point is, they had two parents who did their best, and they cultivated Imago Dei. See, image of God is what helps children stand up against the foolishness of this world. That's the point. Let me go on. I'm out of time. Let me go finish up here. So then we need to honor mothers and recognize the role of a mother. Now, here's some scripture I'm telling you about. Mother's provision is essential to Imago Dei. This is amazing right here. I read a number of scriptures, I'll read just a few, in which a king of Israel is mentioned, or Judah, and the mother's mentioned. Watch this. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. His mother's name was Jedidiah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. His mother's name was Jecoliah. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. His mother's name was Abijah. Look at this. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. His mother's name was Jerusha. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. Mother's name was Jehoden. Yeah. See, the thing is, the trick is say it with confidence. And no one knows if you're right or wrong, but I just. Notice this. Why did the Bible list the king's name and his mother's name? This happens many, many times. Why? Because it's important to their purpose. That mother is integral to them being king, becoming king, and bringing forth those character attributes, the nature, what was necessary for them to serve in that capacity. Here's one very important one. The Apostle Paul, look at this. This will bless you right here. This is New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it is in you also. The Apostle Paul said that in the context of his role, of his purpose. His mother was part of his purpose because his Imago Dei came from her, of course, his dad. But again, the mother has a specific role that is different, okay? in a child's life. Glory to God. So that's a very encouraging text, isn't it? And again, my mother's name was Gaynell, you know, and she's obviously all of us can name your mother or the mother-like one who raised you. Same thing, that you are who you are in part because of them. So it's foolish then to curse your father, not bless your mother, because you're cutting off your own purpose. You cut off your own potential. Last point and last scripture here. One of the first mandates and commands to God's people in the Bible related to preserving and maximizing Imago Dei. Exodus 20 says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. See, God didn't say honor mother, father because you live long chronologically, but you have long life in terms of being enriched, right? We have a phrase called the long game. You know, when you're involved in some process, there's a short game and long game. See, the long game isn't how long you play it, it's how well you play it, how strategic you play it, right? So when you honor mother and father, you become strategic. You become, that is, you continue to glean from your parents. I mean, I'm 64, my dad's 84, and I'm still gleaning from him, see? Right? I mean, you never stop growing as a person, right? And so the Imago Dei is both the image of God, then there's the DNA that's working. All the above is better when we honor. Say honor. My children, those that are here today, honored the mother on up here. Michael did yesterday, and Christine as well. Well, see, the point is, I honored my mom. You know, everybody got some sense in their head. Come on, somebody. If you're not totally crazy and don't care about your life, you will honor your mother and father to have a long life, not just live long time. That it means that, but also to have a quality, a long quality, a good high quality of life. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand. Father, thank you today. Thank you for encouraging us today, for speaking to our hearts today, for giving us so many words of encouragement today, and reflecting on a mother's love, and now reflecting on a mother's provision. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us such wonderful memories of mothers and mother-like ones in our lives. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to be doers of this word and not hearers only. Lord, to be mindful of the purpose for which we've been born, to be faithful to the lineage of the seed of Christ, the seed of our parents, Lord, to then be fulfilled in a unique part of life that we feel. For, Lord, when it's all said and done, we're made in your image, in our parents' image, but yet, Lord, we are unique in ourselves. And, Lord, help us to discover that uniqueness and fulfill it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for our DNA. Thank you for our Imago Dei, that, Lord, we don't have any doubt of our value. We may question our purpose, but we never question our value. We may question...